All right, so how much does a podcast cost? The golden question. There's a lot of ways to take it. I'll start with the three things that you spend money on, Jack, and then you can fill in. Figure that's where we'll begin. So let's talk about it. So there's three things that you spend money on. There's two that you don't think about. The number one is production. That's the one that everybody goes, I get it. There needs to be video editing and audio editing and then, oh, graphic design, right? Okay, I need a logo, but that's one time.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? The two that people forget is what happens before the podcast, which is recording. If you do it in a studio, and maybe we could talk about that,
what
that looks like. And then strategy, man. Strategy is the one that I don't think people really know what podcast strategy even is.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's something that we've faced a lot, just kind of justifying our existence, I think. It's the same with business strategy or any marketing strategy in general. And I cut from the same cloth as well, where people just don't, they don't really consider it, or they want to just begin because maybe their biggest obstacle is action. And them doing a strategy is going to be another excuse for them to not do, and especially in this case for podcasting, hitting record, which can be really difficult for a lot of people. I get that. So the strategy is easy to leave behind, for one, because you think it may not be important. I need to just get out there first and then I can figure it out, which is kind of right to a degree. There is some of that in marketing where you need feedback. And then two is just not realizing, I think, that podcasting, like marketing, needs strategy. You need to have your head up, see where it's going. So as those months, weeks, and years pass by, you end up where you want to end up, like anything in life, right? So I think that's it's easy to get left behind in a lot of senses, or even a strategy for lifting weights or whatever, right?
Yeah,
could be anything. So, and I'm one of those people that just wants to start and not sit down and plan things out. So I do get it for sure.
Yeah, and most anybody we're talking about to today is C-suite founder, CEO, marketer, salesperson, accountant, lawyer. These are all go-getters. These are all people who are like just assume action. That's their default state, right? Which is good for certain things. But when you go, hey, why don't we spend a couple months? Yeah. For something that might take you 20 hours a month for the next 3 to 4 years.
To save that time in the future. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hedge your bets, right? So then what we're not going to get fully into is what a podcast strategy entails. That'll be a separate episode.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can say is just broad strokes, so you know, before we move to production or recording, you're setting your foundation. You're figuring out the most important piece of this podcast, which is why the hell you're even doing it. How many start and don't even know that, right? Do you want to go into a little bit more on like what you do with clients in terms of the strategy side? Could be even as simple as how you get them started, but let's just paint a quick picture of what podcast strategy includes.
Podcast strategy is really similar to marketing strategy. There is a broad position that you're going to take for the content that you're going to be talking about. And that's obviously related to the ICP, the ideal audience member, the ideal client, right? So a lot of it is very, very similar to marketing. And you're answering those foundational questions of who am I helping? What is my mission that floats above all of this? But really the difference, I think, for podcasting is going to be, what does that look like in the field? So what is each episode going to be if it's going to be interview based, which a lot of these shows are? Who are those guests going to be? What are those interviews going to look like? Big part of that is, I think, crafting the content and having that be in lockstep with what the business is in a lot of cases and what the marketing strategy is or the personal brand. So making sure that those are all aligned, and maybe there's a tweak that you realize you want to use for the marketing side too, that gets unearthed as we're talking about why we're here and what we talk about and who we help.
Yep.
There can be a lot of stuff where maybe you can tweak and adjust that, or even just try out some new stuff. So very similar to marketing, but I think podcasting gets a lot more one by one and looking what those episodes would be like, who those people are that you'll be talking to. It gets a bit more specific, a bit more in the weeds with that.
Yeah.
It's a good, you know, it doesn't need to be like an arduous process, but you do look a lot more closely at that. Like, what are you going to be doing?
Yeah. And I'll say it because I say it so much, which is the worst thing you can have is a successful podcast and an unsuccessful business, right?
Yeah.
So that's why typically they're going to work with me for the first month on the marketing for the business to achieve the business goals. So if we know the business goals and then we send them to you for the podcast strategy, how much easier is it for everybody, right? And so that's the big one that I want to say here too is if you're starting with a podcast, you're already not starting in the right place. Start with the business, then go from business to marketing, then go from marketing to podcast. Then you're going to know exactly what this podcast should look like, whether it's guest selection, the format, how often do we release, the duration, all things that are included in the strategy that I'll now pivot away from because we could do another 14 minutes on it.
Yeah, or the specifics of promotion too. But like you said, the larger stuff like the marketing and the podcast strategy at 1,000 feet, those are the things that you need to get in place first. And then the week in, the week out stuff, the do I post a teaser clip the day before the episode drops? All of that extra strategy stuff. That's the nitty and gritty in addition to the content that we
know
get
it beforehand.
Into.
Why not know it beforehand, right?
And so a lot of that stuff is stuff you should be thinking about anyways. And the podcast strategy is going to have you revisiting those really important areas of your business and personal brand in the first place.
100%. It's going to show you gaps, right? We're going to show you gaps.
Yeah.
So that's that is as far deep as we have time for today. We'll do another episode on full strategy. The second piece is production. And this is honestly, since it is another can of worms, I would almost love to spend less time on it. It's also something we've talked about in a lot of other episodes. If you want to go for the VA versus podcast producer episode, if you want to go to how to hire a podcast producer episode, if you want to go to do I hire a social media manager, we did an episode on that. But on the production side, I mean, what needs to get produced? Why don't we just do that? And then we'll have to move to recording.
But, yeah. So if we're going to do audio and video, then we're going to have an audio edit that's going to go on your platforms like iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, what have you. The video edit, which is going to be, there's some people that may say other platforms are really YouTube's the only place to be for you, for video. The graphics for the thumbnail for YouTube at the bare minimum, but having a graphic designer can also be cool too if you want to have a quote card or the cover art for your podcast or something to tease an episode. So we have the audio edit, the video edit, the thumbnail, and then we have the distribution, which is you actually sending it out, uploading it to YouTube, uploading it to these audio platforms, and then the show notes that accompany that as well. So those are all the things that you need. And then even what we were talking about before we got started, Ryan, was like people forget like the microphone, the webcam or something if they don't have that. Those are other little, they're not really hidden because I think they're very out there. It's obvious that you would need to have something to capture your voice and capture video. But people forget about them because there just are a lot of things to get together.
Yeah.
As far as the deliverables, audio edit, video edit, graphic designer for a thumbnail or for any other graphic design needs for that episode, the distribution, which is kind of a management thing, less a deliverable, and then the show notes is what you're going to write that accompanies that episode. So that's what you need week in and week out. Now, I will just add this, is some people just do audio only. Other people think that videos is, especially if they want to cut costs too. But most typical podcasts have that setup that I just described.
Absolutely. Especially now it's 2025. You may be listening to this in 2026 or 2027 or beyond, right? It's definitely the norm. But what you just described is now becoming basically the bare minimum, right? Like it's just implied that you're going to do clips. It's implied you're going to do video.
Oh, again, I forgot
and
to mention
clips
too.
And clips could blow up your budget, but it could be the number one thing that gets your show on the map. So this is the thing. We're going to throw these things in here. And if you're listening and you don't have a podcast yet, you're like, wait, what? Clips? How many? Right? Okay. We're going to do an episode on clips. It's all good. But we just want to paint the picture of, hey, I want you to think of 6, 12, 24, 30 pieces of content a month. And you're going to do all that. That's really what I'm trying to bring home here, right? And we've done, how much does an editor cost? We've done it, right? So there's other episodes that go into that, but we're really trying to paint that picture. There are 5 to 10 at minimum different pieces of content that need to be post-produced, right? And so we have the strategy piece, we have the post-production piece, and now, which you alluded to, is technology, recording. At a home setup, I'll just start and say it, under 1,000. under $1,000 if you want to do either a virtual guest podcast or a solo. You can under $1,000, even under $500 now at this point for 4K for good audio, right? I'll prove it to you. This webcam's $100. This mic is about $60, and we do this for a living, right? And so that's the at-home. The at-home setup's super duper easy. I would suggest you ChatGPT or Google it. It's going to be so much easier, right? You can literally do that, buy what they tell you to buy, right? Then we have studio. So do you want to paint a little bit of a picture of the studio and or who's kind of the type of person that can afford it? And I'm happy to go into rates too, but if you want to just open that can of worms up.
Yeah, so the studio is for people that really want a polished podcasting experience. It looks and feels, honestly, that you're doing a real television show. You're also going to get the benefit of having good mic placement, good mics, good equipment, stuff that's already there, experts that are going to, in a lot of cases, edit that content for you. So that all I feel is invaluable. With that brings a bigger expense. I think studios are really important for people that are here to stay. Mm-hmm. Your Jim Fieldings, your involved talent. There's some other clients that we work with that they know this is what they're going to be doing. They know that this is going to be a centerpiece for their marketing strategy. They believe in the medium, they enjoy it, and they have the budget to be able to handle it. So I look at the studio as the absolute creme de la creme of podcasting in terms of quality, in terms of that experience, in terms of making it feel very significant, and that'll be communicated to your audience.
Yep.
With that being said, it doesn't take anything away really from the virtual podcasting experience. The most successful podcast that we've ever launched, one of the first ones that we launched, has done, I think, maybe 2 in-person episodes. All the rest have been
at a conference with no production.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
All of the other ones have been virtual through Zoom. So we talked about strategy. They know who they're talking to. They have they're IBC guys, so they have a very clear
tree
what they're going to talk about, all the hot spots, everything, right? And they've got their little group and it's grown. They've gotten 40 subscribers on YouTube in the last month.
Yep.
For a show like
for
that.
For a podcast, sub a day for a podcast is great.
Yeah. So the studio is I'm not going to say it's for serious people, because I look at anybody that starts a podcast as somebody that's really kind of doing something cool and is serious about their brand or business to export it in such a dynamic way. I think the studio is for people that know that this isn't a tryout, that this is definitely going to be something that you're going to also get LinkedIn content from, clips, newsletters, blogs, whatever it may be. So those are a few of the qualifiers I see. And then, of course, the big one is the budget. You don't want the studio experience to be full of stress and pain and only get you 3 or 4 episodes. And now you've got to figure out how you're going to get those next episodes if you can't.
You can easily spend $10,000. I would say this. If you spend $10,000 on studio time, you're going to
Why don't you give them like an average, sure. like yeah. an average, yeah. just from shooting from the hip, what it would cost per hour. So we'll say 2 hours. Let's say you shoot an episode per hour. You get in, you start immediately. Everything's ideal.
Yep. So audio only, you're looking at $150 to $200 an hour. Doesn't make any sense. Add on $150. That brings you to $300 to $350 an hour for audio and video.
Mm-hmm.
$350 an hour, right? So you do 3 episodes in a day, and then you're at about a little bit over $1,000 for 3 episodes, just the recording. You can assume essentially a 1-to-1 ratio for production or more. So every $1,000 you spend on recording, expect at least $1,000 on post-production, right? And so that's a pretty good rule. I'd say 1-to-1.5 ratio, but that's about your average cost. Now, in terms of what I would recommend you do.
And that's not, editing's not included too. That's important to.
Yeah. And you can almost, exactly. And well, to my point, right? If you spend $350 an hour on a studio cost, expect to spend $350 at least to get that episode produced at least. Yeah. So it's almost a 1-to-1, 1-to-2 ratio. But I'll say this before you start a podcast, if you're a business owner, right? If you're whoever you are, salesperson, accountant, lawyer, I would actually recommend go book that $300 an hour studio time for an hour. Bring somebody else in the business, somebody adjacent, a vendor, somebody who has a good personality, and just do a mock podcast in a studio, then do a mock podcast on Zoom, and then do one, maybe a virtual interview. Spend like $500 to $1,000 on some testing and then figure out what is the ultimate ratio, right? Of recording expense, strategy expense, production expense. You know, so that's what I would do. But yeah, you're looking at hundreds an hour is like the real headline for studio costs.
And there's some cool knockoff benefits from the studio as well, that if you're looking at, if you have an account-based podcast where a lot of your energy is spent towards targeting these guests and then hopefully making them into clients, having them, and this could be a double-edged sword, come to think of it now, it is a physical shoot. So they will have to come to the location. If there's going to be people that, I mean, all over the US, if they're going to have to fly in or something, that is a rather big wrinkle. But if you do have something, maybe some more, it's more local, or these people are able to drive in or fly in or something, and it's not a big deal, it's kind of cool. It's definitely a lot neater than a virtual. I just think that experience of bringing them into the studio and shooting there and having that experience where you just go and sit down and everybody else is around you getting stuff set up is pretty cool. Now, whether that's worth that expense to you, that $1,000 maybe for that day, it's up to you and how important, and again, maybe how account-based your podcast and how local your business is based, because there's some stuff to be weighed there. But if you have a co-hosted thing and you're like me and Ryan, where we live pretty close to each other and we're close to New York and Philly, and we can do this sort of studio thing, it's also neat to have that every now and again, right? So there's just some considerations with that. If your co-host lives in Cali and you're on the East Coast, then that's not going to make sense outside of the odd event where you go and meet somewhere in the middle or something like that. So sometimes there's just those structural barriers to it. But yeah, if you're poking around at it, it's definitely like whoa, this is cool. You get a VIP experience if you're the guest, and certainly if you're the host, the one paying for it.
Yeah. And guess when we're going to figure this out? In the strategy, right? So for example, one of our clients, Jim Fielding, look him up, best-selling author, incredible guy. We knew this going in. We knew generally strategy costs. We knew generally studio costs, and we knew generally production costs. He knew that before he hit go, because we did strategy for 3 months before we started, right? So all of this should not be done on your own if you do hire a strategist, right? We find studios for all of our clients. We don't let them do that. That's not their job, right? When we're doing the strategy, that's involved, right? We've found studios for 3 or 4 clients now already, and we've gotten pretty good at that, right? So again, back to what the strategy does, you might spend 50 hours, you know, putting all these pieces together, where if we just did the strategy, that would have all been knocked out with help.
Yeah.
And that's the big
thing. Yeah. And that's the other thing, is you don't want to go in and waste that time where you have that footage, but you don't really know where it fits in.
So many people, right? And I'm recommending that. I'm actually saying, hey, just get started. What I'm actually recommending you to do is get in the studio, do the virtual and do an interview, then come to us and let's start strategy. So we get how you are, right? We can do an audit of you and go, hey, I don't think interviewing's your thing. You love to talk. Let's do it some solo, right?
It happens a lot. We have people that do interviews with, and we were talking to a client today who does primarily interviews with very, very smart, authorities in their respective industries.
Yep.
And it's not a great fit for her, I think, as a person, and for her brand, you know. So we see that a lot, where even just the interviewing thing, a lot of people feel beholden to that format, thinking that they need to be an interviewer and this needs to be interviews, and may not be the best fit. They may not enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a whole other thing with the studio, shooting a solo versus having a guest and all the stuff that comes with that. Where do I go when the plane lands? Where do I stay? What hotel? Where do I drive? I mean, you know, these are all little things that can make the experience cool or really annoying.
And listen, if you just listen to all of our podcasts, you don't need us. Now, you're going to do it all yourself. So it's all out there to put together.
It's
going to be brutal. The reason why we make these episodes is so you know what the options are, right? Because we've been doing this for 8 years and we've never sold anything. All we do is help people, and that's it. If we're the solution, then we're the solution. And if that makes sense, it makes sense, right? But you can start doing this stuff. That's why we're here talking about it, right? But if you do need help, or it's any of its, or if it's so overwhelming that you're like, what is happening? Strategy, strategy, strategy. Book a call, talk to somebody. When in doubt, hire out or get some help, right? And that would be a perfect way to end. There's a couple more things that I want to include here is, okay, great guys. You're telling me production, strategy, recording. How much does all this stuff cost? Listen, it would take us an hour to go through how much every individual thing costs, right? For any given strategy in business, I'm just going to hit them with that. If you are spending less than $500 an hour, it's probably somebody who's new. It's probably somebody who's starting. It's probably somebody who is kind of getting started in their career, right? Or maybe it's just not that valuable. Because if somebody is charging $100 an hour or $200 an hour, which we did in the beginning, we were saying to the client, we're not giving you any sort of expectations. We just are going to help you and kind of see if it works. Just pay us for our time. Now, 6 years later, you pay us for our systems. You pay us for experience. You pay us for our expertise, right? You pay us for this peace of mind, right? Our strategy starts at $650 an hour, right? So just if you want to get a general overview of what that might cost. So I won't go into every single detail. Production, I would recommend the other episodes if you want to get into actual cost, right? You're looking at $500 to $1,000 a month for a semi-professional or professional edit. And then for recording, we covered it. If you do it at home, buy the equipment, it's essentially free. Plus some software costs, which are under $100 a month total for all your software. Or you can do studio, which is $200 plus an hour and up from there. So those are that's the whole cost overview. That's about as far in the weeds as we're going to get. And then let's look at the number one cost for anything in your business, time. Time you do not get back. There's a reason why we're sitting here on this podcast. It's because Jack and I will send this podcast to people to save us time and to save them time, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to think time. Right? Do a cost analysis. Take your income for the year, divide it by 2048. I'm pretty sure it's 40 hours a week times 52. And then that's your hourly rate. If you can hire somebody for less than that hourly rate to do this work, then hire them. Right? So that's just one equation that you can use to figure that out. But the time ROI that's what podcast principles is, right? We do a lot, Jack. We do a lot to help businesses, but man, do we save people time. And you'll see that in the client interviews, right? Like, we're not just making this up. When we train a team for 2 hours, we save that team 20 to 40 hours, maybe up to 100 hours over the course of a year, right? So that's just the number one hidden cost, I would say, for podcasting, marketing, and business in general is time.
There's so many people that we'll do discovery calls with that have podcasts that they've been doing for months or even years. It's pretty rare that we'll see somebody that has a podcast that's pretty vibrant, that seems with it. A lot of times these are reclamation projects where somebody started and they had the motivation to start, but not something lasting that was underpinning that, which again, I'm cut from the same cloth. So I need structure. I need strategy. I need a momentum behind it that is going to carry me through the first few stages. And then that's where that strategy and structure comes in to fill that in. When that fades away, because it does. Motivation and momentum does fade away, especially when you're not getting the results that you want.
Sure.
In an area that's based very strictly on vanity metrics. You're going to be posting this on YouTube. You're going to have access to listener metrics that may make you feel good or may make you feel bad. You'll have the podcast clips on LinkedIn, which has tons of great insights, again, could be good or bad. So I think that time thing, the time aspect is really big. There's tons of people that we've met that just have wasted a lot of time in their podcasts and they don't know what to do with it. They don't feel great about it. But they have all this work and it I hate to say it, but it might as well have been like they shouldn't have even done it in the first place.
Yeah.
And it informs a little bit of what we'll do in the future, but really we're starting from scratch. Based off who you are and what your business is, not what the last 100 episodes of your podcast were. So that strategy piece is so important because the product is just so much better. And then you don't waste a year getting the wrong information from something that just isn't properly calibrated for your audience and what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And where's your time going to go when you do all this? Promoting it. You're the host. You're the person. You're Joe Rogan of your thing. So that's really what all this does. It gives you the time to do that. Actually fire up a post with a comment section. That's where people interact when it comes to podcasts. There's no comments. Yeah. There's comments on Spotify now, but you can't even reply. Or you can, there's comments on Spotify, but who the hell would even, nobody's spending time commenting there, right?
I would.
So your time is spent building comment sections on social platforms that mm-hmm. become the conversational element for the audience. That let your time should be interacting with listeners, right? Not figuring out, cutting out, spending an hour cutting one clip. The ROI on building the audience is that's where there is actual ROI, right? Because that's how this comes back to generate business, right? So great points on both sides. Time is the asset for you. It's also your best friend when it comes to podcasting. The longer you do it, the better it gets. Always, 100%, as long as you have the right strategy. In the instance of time, I'll leave him with that, unless you got anything else to add on top.
And also add too, the longer that your podcast is active, I mean, what was it? Some insane metric. I'll have to dig it up. It was something close to 80 or 90% of podcasts don't survive outside of the first 4 to 8 episodes. It's something small. It sounds almost like I'm making it up. But yeah, like it just speaks to, I guess, the lack of strategy, you know, because it's just such a fun hobby. And I don't blame people. Yeah. Like, this is my business. So anybody that's taking it on extra, I understand that these two jerks do this for a living. Of course, it's important. But you do see a lot of people start and stop. So it's like, you know, if you can just hold off and just do a little bit of strategy.
Hey, I started and stopped.
You see so many people that it's like, I'm going to build my own car. And then you're driving down the street and you see all of these like half-built cars. You're like, you know, like that's kind of what we see is we see a lot of people either coming to us saying, hey, I want to restart this or I want to make it better. Or you can just see this on, you know, just going through Apple Podcasts or whatever. Like we'll search for a podcast name and we'll be like, well, we found
it's three. The graveyard, right? It's the graveyard.
We found three of them for something generic, right? Money Talks Podcast or something like that. We'll look it up, say, well, there's three or four, but this one last posted in 2016. This other one was 2 years ago. This, you know, so you see it a lot.
It's true.
So yeah, it's just, you know, it's a big, I would sit on it until you can really do it in a meaningful way.
It's like writing a book. So just treat it like that. If you're going to write a book, if you go, oh my God, write a book. Are you kidding me? There's no way I have time for that. Or you're like, I'm finally at the point in my life where I have so many ideas and I just got to get it out. All right, mm-hmm. I'm going to write this book. That is exactly the filter I would put this through.
Yeah.
We would stay on it, but these episodes are purposely supposed to be short. So we appreciate you. And for YouTube, Jack, thanks for joining me. As always, I'll kick us out in this case with join us or myself for the next episode, which is how much time does your podcast take? We alluded to it, but if you want to get in the weeds of that, that's what we're about to cover. Appreciate you, Jack.
You too, buddy.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the newly improved Ryan Sullivan Show. Now, since this podcast has changed, I want to get some new people in here in this kind of new ecosystem, whether it's business, entrepreneurship, podcasting, social media content. So if you know anybody who likes content like this, maybe they're just starting their brand, make sure to share it with them. That's the only thing I'm going to ask you to do here. You know the deal. If you've listened once, make sure to hit that follow and subscribe if you actually enjoyed. And finally, really would mean a lot if you could share this with at least one person, so we can continue to help people grow and launch their business and their podcast. Okay, I'll catch you next week.